and have almost completed my book. But then such ventures will always take second place to living history." Cotter sank gratefully into a high-backed chair, his bald head gleaming with sweat, his dark eyes showing his fatigue. He had come straight from the ship, eager to unburden himself of the bad news he carried, yet loath to load the weight on the man before him.
"There are many stories of how it began. All are contradictory, or else extravagantly embroidered. But, as you suspected, the Goths have a new leader of uncanny powers. His armies are certainly invincible, and he is cutting a bloody path through the northern kingdoms. The Sicambrians and the Norths have yet to find him opposing them, but their turn will come."
Revelation nodded. "What of the sorcery?"
"The agents of the Bishop of Rome all testify that Wotan is a skilled nigromancer. He has sacrificed young girls, launching his new ships across their spread-eagled bodies. Oh, it is vile, all of it. And he claims to be a god."
"How do the man's powers manifest themselves?" asked the abbot.
"He is invincible in battle. No sword can touch him. But it is said he makes the dead walk, and more than walk. One survivor of the battle in Raetia swears that at the end of the day the dead Goth rose in the midst of the enemy, cutting and killing. Needless to add that the opposition crumbled. I have only one man's word for this tale, but I think he was speaking the truth."
"And what is the talk among the Goths?"
"They say that Wotan plans a great invasion of Britannia, where the magic is strongest. Wotan says the home of the old gods is Britannia, and the gateway to Valhalla is Sorviodunum, near the Great Circle."
"Indeed it is," whispered Revelation.
"What, my lord, abbot?" asked Cotter, his eyes widening.
"I'm sorry, Cotter, I was thinking aloud. The Great Circle has always been considered a place of magic by the Druids and others before them. And Wotan is right. It is a gateway of sorts, and he must not be allowed to pass through it."
"I cannot think there is a single army to oppose him, except the Blood King, and our reports say he is sorely beset by rebellion and invasion in his own land. Saxons, Jutes, Angles, and even British tribes rise against him regularly. How would he fare against 20,000 Gothic warriors led by a sorcerer who cannot be bested?"
Revelation smiled broadly, his wood-smoke eyes twinkling with sudden humour. "Uther can never be underestimated, my friend. He, too, has never known defeat, and he carries the sword of power, Cunobelin's blade."
"But he is an old man now," said Cotter. 25 years of warfare must have taken their toll. And the great betrayal?"
"I know the history," snapped Revelation. "Pour us some wine while I think." The abbot watched as the older man filled two copper goblets with deep red wine, accepting one of them with a smile to offset the harshness of his last response. "Is it true that Wotan's messengers seek out maidens with special talents?"
Yes. Spirit seekers, healers, speakers in tongues. It is said he weds them all."
"He kills them," said Revelation. "It is where his power lies." The abbot rose and moved to the window, watching the sun sink in fire. Behind him, Cotter lit four candles, then waited in silence for several minutes. At last he spoke.
"Might I ask, my lord, why you are so concerned about events across the world? There have always been wars,